And on the phone, it's Amy Yerstedt from the League of Women Voters. Good morning, Amy. How are you today?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. Getting back into the swing of things after the holidays. Everything was good in your family for Christmas?
Yep, everything was great. Yeah, mm-hmm. Nice, quiet, I think, like everybody else in America. But, a lot to be thankful for, so yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that over the weekend, despite all the craziness, for lack of a better term, for 2020. I mean,
yeah.
We are still pretty fortunate to be able to celebrate Christmas and to be able to have a Christmas and, mm-hmm. have those people that are around us, so.
Yep, absolutely.
Time to count our blessings, that's for sure. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Yep. Oh, no, I was just going to say, I totally agree, especially with if you have your family is of good health right now, then we do have a lot to be thankful for.
That's for sure. So here we are, just a couple days left here in the year. I know we talked a little bit about this last month, but it was a big year for the league this year. It was the 100th anniversary of the League of Women Voters, and a lot of activity that probably would have happened that didn't happen because of the pandemic and everything. But as we look forward to 2021, which I know everybody is absolutely looking forward to the new year, what's on the docket? What are some of the things that you've got exciting that are coming up?
Yep. So actually, we're already starting on the wheels on some of this stuff. So for example, as I'd mentioned last month, I personally was trying to figure out where a Sioux City meeting was at or a Chippewa County meeting, and I was running out the door and I was late and I couldn't remember if it was Zoom or if it was in person because of the times. And I don't ever want to have to feel like I don't know when my local government meeting is especially when I am so eager to go. And I think that I think this is a really important service that the League could provide, is to try to make it easy for folks to find that local government meeting. So what we already have a League Observer Corps, and I know that's a kind of a wonky term, Observer Corps. Essentially, those are volunteers who go to civic meetings, take notes. We are there in the room, or virtually in the room, mm-hmm. watching the government meeting, and then we report back to the local league to just talk about what was discussed, and if there's anything that kind of raises some red flags, then the league board will talk about it and decide if they want to make a statement or try to work with local elected leaders. So we already have that, and we want to grow that program. But in addition to that, we also are developing, we haven't exactly come up with, decided on the title yet, but it'll either be called They Represent Us or They Represent You. The acronym it's nice if you put They Represent You, because then it would be the, TRY. And what we're doing right now is, and we've been working on this for the last two weeks or so, I suppose, where we're researching all of the townships within Chippewa County at this point, and we're finding out all of the electeds. And this is a good task for us because we just had this election, and now there's a lot of new. I mean, not a lot. It's interesting to see how uncompetitive the races were across Chippewa County. But we are researching. We're finding out who was elected, and we're finding out their term limits, and then when those when the government meetings are, what time and where. And so we're putting that into a Google Sheet, and so it's a very long tabbed Google Sheet where we're documenting all of this information, and then we will make that available to the public. So whenever they're looking for a meeting or who's on the board or how to contact that person, even county administrator or township supervisor, all of these roles, the sheriff or even a constable. I'm doing a lot of this data research, and I'm learning all kinds about Chippewa County.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this will be a good and a valuable tool. And then potentially, if we can raise enough funds, it'd be nice to be able to print some of this into like a trifold brochure in various areas of the county, so that people will have something at their fingertips. And so a lot of leagues around the country do something very, very similar to this, and they drop it off in their local library. And so it's just a They Represent Us sort of brochure, so that you'll know exactly who represents you and how to reach out to them. So if you need any services, or you want to you have a question about anything about your government, you'll know exactly where to go and who to talk to. So it is really helpful, especially when we did have our 2020 celebration, and we went to Chippewa County, and they helped celebrate, the county commission, and they wrote us this awesome note. We tried to get a lot of people in the room, and then I was getting lots of text messages and Facebook messages of people saying, I'm not sure where to go. Where is the Chippewa County meeting at? And so that was really my big eye-opener, thinking like, wow, people live in this community and they don't even know where their county commission is meeting or how to get into the door. So I really wanted to try to help people know where their government is doing its business.
I was going to say, in addition to like the city commission and the Chippewa County Commission, are there other meetings that maybe you're not covering right now as the league is observing as the league that you would like to?
That's a great question. Yes, absolutely. So there's tons of township boards that meet once a month. And so if someone lives in, like, say, Sioux Township it's a little early for me to start rattling off tons of townships.
That's okay.
But there's a lot of different townships in the area. Mm-hmm. And if anybody wanted to go and meet and, you know, it's just once a month, and a lot of, as far as I am seeing, and I'm almost through all of the townships, I think I might have four or five more left to get through, but they're all doing it virtually. And it can be tricky for someone who might not live in that particular township, but they want to see it in action, because it looks like, since our townships are small and they might only serve like, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 people, they're a little bit more informal. And so in order for you to even find out, you either have to call, which means you have to find the phone number, or you have to drive by the town, like it's kind of like a community center or a township hall,
mm-hmm.
and they'll have a flyer, and then they'll have the Zoom address on there, and then you'll have to write that down or take a picture with your phone and then go back and transcribe it and then call up. So it can be tricky, which is why I think it's really important right now to get that information in a Google Sheet. But yeah, we, as far as I know, I don't think that we are actually covering any of the townships. Maybe Sugar Island, because we have strong league members on Sugar Island, Sioux Township area. And we have a league volunteer that's amazing that goes to the Cloverland board meetings, and she doesn't miss a one. So we're probably covering four or five different government meetings as it is now. But, I mean, there are so many government, especially when you also include all the school boards.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot more reach that we need to get done. And so, yeah, if there's anybody who is interested in watching government meetings, first here, you might think this sounds kind of boring, but this is where the budget is. This is where, you know, where anything from trash, how that, you know, if it is or isn't picked up, or what mechanism it's done, to roads, to the schools, your parks or walkability areas, healthcare. I mean, it's law enforcement. Everything is. We always talk about national elections, but really the things that directly impact us are at that local election. And so it's really important that we stay engaged in that. And then when I noticed how many of these races are they're not competitive. There's nobody running. It's the same person has been running in the same spot for years. I've always wondered, is this because that people don't know how to run, or they don't know that these offices even exist? Maybe they don't know there's a township supervisor or a treasurer or a constable and what that person does. And so I think that's why it's really good to start getting this information down now, and then talking about what the Observer Corps is and people participating, because then you see what issues your government is working on, and you see what the different roles are, and then maybe people will feel more comfortable throwing their hat in and trying to run a campaign and maybe even win that office. So there's that. And then in addition to the They Represent Us brochure and online data, as well as the Observer Corps, with all that information and understanding of the lack of competitive races, then we thought, well, maybe we could try to figure out how to help people run for office. And mind you, we're nonpartisan, so we want to help anybody. It doesn't matter what party affiliation or what side of the continuum you're on. We want to help folks understand how to run, you know, what are the issues, like what would a basic campaign look like, and particularly how hard it is for women to run, what maybe extra hurdles they have to jump over that maybe their male counterparts don't have to jump over. So we have a political scientist that'll come and speak, as well as a few others, and we have some plans for that I think we're going to call it a Women Lead workshop series, and it'll be virtual. So we're still tweezing out the details on that one, but hopefully we'll have something started by March. And so it all really does kind of neatly work together between the Observer Corps, the Women Lead workshop, and then they represent us, or they represent you brochure and online data set.
Well, and you said you like TRY, so try, but TRU is true.
Yeah.
So I think that you could use true as well. So
I know I can't. I keep going back and forth. I don't know which one I like better, but either way, I like the idea of having all of the information at my fingertips.
No, I hear you for sure. We got Amy Yearset from the League of Women Voters on the phone with us. Amy, obviously, a lot of interest in this year's election. Did that help you get more members into the league this year? Were more people participating in the organization this year?
I think, I'm sure nationally and at the state level, I'm sure it did. At the local level, we haven't seen the increase, and I think that's partly because of us, since it is much harder for us to do recruitment virtually.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's harder for us to get out, you know, and talk with people. And, you know, at the library, we always seem to get a lot of engagement because people will see something on Facebook or there's something, a flyer at the library, and then they'll come and they'll be like, oh, I love what you're doing. But virtually, it's so much harder for us to get people to come, you know, to feel comfortable what's going on. And so, no, unfortunately, we have not. So, but if anybody is interested, I highly recommend. It's a great time right now, especially if you're interested in these topics or just learning how your government works. You know, a good time for New Year's resolutions. Just go to lwveup.org, or you can find us on Facebook at lwveup. And we would love to have some extra hands helping out with this and extra people just watching government. And it's easy, especially since it's virtual. I mean, literally, my kids and I were driving around. I wasn't driving. The husband was driving. But driving around looking at Christmas lights, and I was listening at the city commission meeting and even made public comments on behalf of the league. So it's because everything is virtual right now, it actually makes watching government even easier than before. So in some ways, it's... technology has really helped bridge the gap.
You can do it in your PJs from the comfort of your own home, right?
I know you can. It's super great. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm like, please, government meetings, kind of, I hope you keep, like, on a virtual, like, it could be like a hodgepodge, both in person and virtual, so that more people can participate.
Well, and I've actually brought that up to our local mayor and a city manager that I enjoy having the city commission meetings on Zoom. It's much more convenient. I mean, you know, selfishly more convenient for me to part, you know, to watch. I don't really participate, but just I get ready, you know, for the show each week or each day and everything, just to see what's going on there. And they do think that that's going to continue even after they get back to. They're going to try to work that in so that it continues even after they get back into commission chambers and back to face to face meeting. They think that it gives the community more chance to participate so they don't have to just show up. They can be on Zoom and participate that way. So I think that that technology will continue. At least it sounds like it will after we get through all this craziness here.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's the first time I've heard that from any of the government bodies in the Chippewa County area. So that's really wonderful that Sioux City is going to do that.
That's what they've said to me that they want. I mean obviously there's probably some technological things with the way they do the city commission meeting and doing Zoom as well, so they'll have to work that out and everything, but it sounded like they did want to try to incorporate that going forward. So
that's great. I think that, I mean, you know, one of the things the league is always looking at is we look at our local elections, right? We are constantly trying to evaluate and see, like, what is the way to best improve, you know, this process so that more people can come and participate. And accessibility is huge, and being inclusive. And so I think the same thing goes for local government bodies. Like, how can we be most accessible and inclusive for those people who are residing in the area? And so I think that having a, you know, both an in-person and virtual, when, you know, when we were able to have in-person, is great, because there's a lot of people who have mobility challenges, or you have a lot of working families who, like, you know, they're trying to get their kid from the sports, but now they're like, they're sitting at a soccer field and can't really do anything, but they could certainly watch, put the phone on mute, stay engaged at what's going at the city meeting while their kid's running back and forth on the soccer field. So I think that, I think hopefully the city would, they could do that and be both virtual and in-person. That really would be great.
Mm-hmm. So anything else to look forward to here in the new year as we wind down 2020?
Yeah, so because we are a local league and we work underneath a state league and a national league, we do have a state study that's happening. And the next, I think between now and then March is when we have to have our results in. So the state league has decided they wanted to look at lame duck legislation. So what does that mean? You know, how does legislation change in the behavior of your legislature in Michigan? And so we're going to be looking at that and probably having a lot of discussions between now and March, what lame duck means and how that impacts the people of Michigan. So if folks are interested, I've always said that the League of Women Voters is like a free college education. It really is. I have a master's in political science, and I learned so much more talking with fellow local people on these kinds of issues like lame duck. So if anybody's interested, I really recommend joining the league because you're going to feel smarter after all of it. So we're going to study lame duck. And then we'll also, in the next two or three months, we're also going to have a forum on ranked choice voting. So we have someone downstate who this is their bread and butter. They love talking about ranked choice voting. And we thought this was an interesting topic. As someone who studies politics, this is something that I have heard and seen over and over that many people say in the political science sphere that what would help America's democracy would be ranked choice voting, among other things like ending gerrymandering. And so I'm really interested to see how the community, what they think about this. So hopefully a lot of folks will want to come to this virtual forum as well, just so that we can all learn about it together, but then even just hear reflections about what it is. And if people in the local community really like this idea of ranked choice voting, our local league could study it and potentially even create a position and then start advocating for it at the local level. So it would be great. I mean, we're watching right now Georgia. Georgia has this runoff election, and they wouldn't have to have a runoff election if they would have had ranked choice voting. They could have saved their state, you know, tens of thousands, potentially millions of dollars if you include all of the organizing and campaigns that are happening. And they could just get back onto business by now. But because they don't have ranked choice voting and they have to do a runoff, it's incredibly time intensive and expensive.
Sure.
So that'll be fun, talking about ranked choice voting. And then we're also going to be looking at redistricting in Chippewa County. Since redistricting is happening at the state level, it's also going to be happening at the county level. And so we currently have 5 seats in Chippewa County that sit at our county commission. And we did, prior to 2010, we had 7 seats. And we know that because of the population of Chippewa County, the minimum is 5, and we can go up to 15. And so the league is interested to hear what maybe the future of the commission is, whether it will grow or not. And we're having internal discussions about what we think would be a better size, or if this is the right size. And so so redistricting Chippewa County, where those lines are, and then how, if the commission should grow or not. So again, if people are interested in Chippewa County and redistricting, please come join the league and talk about that with us. And I think that's it. I guess one last thing. I don't know if you want to mention about the Sault Ste. Marie City had their vote last week about moving the local elections. So we found that to be really interesting. December 21st, Sault Ste. Marie City had a meeting, their typical meeting, and one of the they had a public hearing about whether to move their local city commission meeting. Local city commission elections from odd years to even years, and it was a really great, I thought, conversation among the city commissioners. I really, like, the league, we had our position, and the position was that we agreed with the staff that having the moving from odd to even is both fiduciary responsible. Like, we're going to save $15,000 per election cycle, although I wouldn't want to base moving elections on finances, but
sure,
it did make smart. But the big, it's going to increase voter turnout, because we know that people are more likely to turn out for big races, right? Ones that they're hearing constantly in the news, which would be the presidential and the midterm election. Midterm meaning, like, 2018 was a big year. We'll have another big year in 2022. And so more people are going to be coming out for those because the parties are really going to be, right, getting people excited. As opposed to local, it's much harder to get people out and about voting. I feel like I heard Sault Ste. Marie in the last one, I mean, I don't even know if we got 10% of the electorate in the Sioux to come out for the city commission. It's very dismal.
Well,
so it's not really
it's always been a true representation. It's always been very confusing to me as to, you know, when is it? And I've been here 25 years. So I agree. I think it's a great idea. I think it's I'm glad that I remember I talked to Don and to Brian, and I said, why did it take so long to do this? Why did, you know, and Don couldn't, you know, he says, I don't know why it's, you know, this is way before me, you know? And so, So I don't know. But I think it's a win for everybody. So.
That's what we had a conversation about it, because as Observer Corps, that's how I found out that this was even going to be a discussion. And so I was at that city meeting, and then, you know, they had the public hearing and the league got together. We discussed whether we wanted to make a public comment. And, you know, we are the election organization, so I was like, we have to make a comment. And so this is what we came up with. We definitely agreed with the move from odd to even. Our only concern was that they're giving all of the commissioners and the mayor an extra year, and that's not what the voters had voted for. So we were hoping that maybe there could be some creative work and discussion among staff and the city commission on keeping the existing terms, because that's what the voters had voted on. And I think that it could turn out to be a slippery slope. You know, if your state elected or your president or any other person, you know, it's financially responsible to do this, so let's just give ourselves an extra year or 5 years. So I think that is the one thing that we as the league were like, well, that's not what voters voted on, and this could be, you know, this could be a slippery slope. That said, I think that the voters, if something like that was to happen in Sault Ste. Marie, I'm pretty sure the voters would be up in arms and going to city commission meetings where it's much more accessible than it would be at a higher level office. So. We do applaud that the city is thinking about how to do voter turnout and, how to just – this would be better for voter education, and we're saving the city some money, and especially in a challenging time like COVID.
Sure.
So, yeah. Good times, though. So that means the next election for the local community will be the same time as the midterm, which is not until 2022.
So good. We all get a break from all of it for a while.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was like, in some ways, I'm really happy about this, because then we can really start focusing on that observer core and not have to be pulled in too many directions doing, you know, candidate forums and, voter guides and things like that. So I was like, but that also means that the league is going to be working in overdrive in 2022, because we're going to have state elections, local elections, county elections, township, and national. So it will be intense every even year for the local league now.
You'll get a year on and a year off. So
exactly.
Well, not really a year off. It won't be really a year off. I don't think that there's ever a year off, but it'll be like an up year and a little bit more calm year. So.
Well, yeah, exactly. It'll be every even year will be hardcore election, while off years will be trying to figure out how to recruit people and get them doing the Observer Corps and different public policy forums and things like that. But yeah, and then you'll have your even year just doing voter reg, voter election or education and things like that. So yeah, it's crazy.
If there's anybody out there listening who wants to, sounds like, this sounds like something I might be interested in or whatever, how can they get a hold of you and how can they get a hold of the league and become maybe a member or participate somehow?
Yeah, great question. So as always, please go either to our Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, we're at LWVEUP. So that stands for League of Women Voters Eastern Upper Peninsula. And if you're not on Facebook or you're taking a Facebook break, part of your New Year's resolution, then go to our website. We're at LWVEUP.org. We also have an email, so if you just want to email us and say, I love what you're doing or I hate what you're doing, just LWVEUP@gmail.com. So super easy, streamlined, LWVEUP on everything. We're not on any of their social media platforms, just Facebook, kind of like to keep it nice and easy. So yeah, you can find us at any of those places.
Awesome. Anything else you want to add there, Amy?
No, I hope everybody stays healthy, wear that mask, and we look forward to seeing many, many people in 2021 being civically engaged and hopefully joining our Observer Corps. It's a good time to learn about government.
Absolutely. Well, Amy, a happy new year to you and your family and to the league. We'll look forward to the next 100 years of the League of Women Voters starting in 2021, right?
That's absolutely true. Yep.
All right, Amy.
Thank you so much.
Yep, Amy Erstad from the League of Women Voters joining us this morning here on 1230 WSOO.